Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for giving us this privilege to your people to come and to worship you this morning, O Father. Lord, as we look into your word, we pray the Lord will open our hearts to look into your truth, which will help us to grow in faith and trusting in you, O Father. Help us to surrender our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we begin our new series on the parables of the kingdom with Lenny walking us through the parable of the sower 2 weeks ago. He showed us how the word of God is like seeds scattered across different types of soil, and how the conditions of our hearts determines whether that word takes root and bears fruit. And last week we looked at the parable of the wheat and the weeds, where we saw that the good seed represents the children of the kingdom, kingdom of heaven, those who have received God's word and lived. Jesus revealed that these children are sown in the world, even as evil continues to grow alongside the weeds. Today, we will continue that journey with yet another parable Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. One that reminds us not to underestimate the small, the slow, or the hidden in the work of God's kingdom. A couple of years ago, I found this a big monstera plant, you know, right next to our building, where in the ground floor we have students' accommodation. And I found a small pot which is broken, the soil is dry, and this monstera plant, I know this is a very beautiful plant. I see that in cafes and many houses, but like looking at it, you know, I want to do something about this. I know it's a lost case. It's not going to survive, but I thought, let me give it a chance. Let me give it a try. It wasn't healthy. It is not beautiful at the time. Some of the people who come to my house and who was part of my home group who have seen this plant. So we took it. I took it. My wife loves houseplants. She loves it, and Wrigley helps her give a lot of plants to her, and the house is filled with plants. When I took it, there was only one leaf that was hanging out. It was dry. The root is dry, and I'm like, okay. So I showed it to my wife. She said, okay, why don't we re-soil this, cut the leaf that is hanging dry, and put that root into this new pot. I don't think it's going to survive. But after a few months, you know, you water it, you leave it next to the sun when it needed, and then you move it. After good care, I started to see a small coil of a green leaf coming out. And slowly that opened up, and I started to see, it's like a bird that spreads its wings with monstera plant, huge leaf with this beautiful patterns, and now it's got 6 leaves in the last couple of years. And just in the corner of my house, it just takes over. And I look at it. It reminded me of something, you know. You may not know what's happening under that soil, but the seed will continue to grow. It is slow. It is not immediate. But it will come to a place where it is fruitful. And today we're going to look at something like that. Because I think the kingdom of God often looks a lot like that. It's quiet. It's slow. Hidden beneath the surface. It doesn't always come with noise or power or applause. Sometimes it starts with one moment of faith. A step of obedience. And before you know it, new life begins to unfold. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. See, we live in a world that loves fast results, immediate things. You want everything to be right now, then and there. A flashy success. We like big launches, and today with the social media, everyone is on those videos on YouTube. You know, overnight wins. We want change now. And when you look at the church or our impact as Christians in the world, it can feel discouraging at times. Small acts of obedience, little seeds of faith, they don't always seem to matter. Especially when the world seems so loud, so dark, so dominant. Yesterday I was talking to a friend, he was saying, you know, when you try to help people, when you try to tell them the truth, no one wants to listen. But you tell them a lie, so you try to say things in a very, very flashy, nice, sugar-coated way people will willing to trust. And the end, they get cheated. Truth hurts, but it stands forever. And then you read Jesus' parable and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's small, very small. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast, the leaven that the woman took and hid it in the large portion of flour. So what is it? Is that it? No fire from heaven to change things immediately? No armies, just seed? That feels weak, insignificant. So we start to ask this question in our hearts. Is this how God really works? Can something too small really make a difference? Yes, it does. And that's what Jesus is speaking to us in this passage of Matthew chapter 13. Let's hear what Jesus says. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. So that the birds come and perch in its branches. And again in Matthew chapter 13, 33, he says another parable. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So from these two parables, we learn three important lessons. And that's what we're going to look at. See, the kingdom starts small. When you're looking at this passage, we need to understand Jesus is talking to his people in parables. And later, to those who received him, we're asking questions. Jesus is revealing what that is. And he started with the parable of the sower. And then the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And now comes the mustard seed and the leaven, the yeast. The kingdom starts small. Jesus himself was born in a manger. Not a palace. He chose fishermen. And not the kings and the royals. It's not that God cannot use the kings or the royals, but the beauty about God is he doesn't look for the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. God chose ordinary people and gives them what they need to do extraordinary things in his kingdom. You know, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of the Zerubbabel. Do not despise small things. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. See, this mustard seed looks very small. In the rabbinical teaching, the rabbis who teach to the Jewish people at that time, they always use mustard seed as something, as a symbol of something very small. So it's, I'm not sure whether it's the smallest of the seeds. Could be not. But what they are sharing here is, it's very small. Compared to the kingdom in that world at that time, Roman Empire, this is small seed that Jesus is sowing here. But this is going to become great. So never underestimate what God is doing in our life. That small seed that he has sowed in our life. The kingdom grows with power. The kingdom is small, but kingdom grows with power. It doesn't stay that way. As I shared about the plant that I've, you know, took it. The joy that I've seen after seeing the leaves. Every time it comes out, I go and stand and my wife thinks I'm mad. You're looking at the plant. But I've seen that dead, nothing. And now it's a big plant, so beautiful. I'm not saying God's kingdom is dead. No, I'm not saying that. But the seed is small and it becomes so large. The tiny mustard seed becomes a tree. Speak on how that small seed grows enormously. Large is the focus here. It's small, now it is large. He's planting it in the garden where the herbs are, but this becomes the largest in the garden. It's become a tree in a way. I don't know how big it is, maybe 3 feet in that part of the world. Birds come and perch on it, makes their nest on it, and finds their rest in the shade of the branches. So the kingdom of God sowed in small compared to the kingdom of those days, yet grew larger than any kingdom on earth, where the nation came to rest in it. Looking at the parable of the sower and soils, you know, first when Lenny was sharing about the parable of the sower and the soil, the first seed that fell alongside the path did not take time to understand the gospel. They didn't take the time to understand the gospel. The bird came and took it away. Satan, the enemy, came and taken it away. And then we see the second received with joy, but did not really understood it. Did not understand the heart of the gospel. The troubles of this world and the problems did not allow it to root, but died. Then the third received with joy, but the worries of this world and the deception of the wealth came and crushed it, and it died. And the third one and the fourth one, that's what the seed that receives with joy understands it and stands firm against the pressures and the pleasures of this world and then multiplies. And these are the people who God sees as the children of God, who's been planted in this world as a kingdom children, kingdom people, God's community, that is the church. And we will grow. The seed that has taken effect in the hearts of believers is the children sown in the world is God's people. It will grow powerfully, larger than the small size of the seed. Starts small, but grows big. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. God is the one who makes it grow. But in the end, even he's the chief. He's the one who sows. He's the chief harvester. He makes it happen. You stay faithful and be fruitful. But then comes the kingdom persists even with infiltration. So it's small. It grows larger with power, but now we see the kingdom persists even with infiltration. So what do I mean by that? I'm going to bring in a thought here which is usually most of the normative interpretation of this passage is, people say, you know, when the church grows larger, the nations will come and rest on it. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel, in the prophetical books, always it talks about tree, the large tree, as a big empire, big kingdom. And birds coming and resting on it as nations coming and finds its place in it and rest in it. So when we see this passage, the mustard seed grows big and the birds coming and resting in it, normally this is seen a wonderful parable about the beautiful growth of the church. But in light of the parable itself, when you look at this other parables, in the context of the parables that are given both before and after this, this should be regarded as another description of corruption in the kingdom of God. Remember last week we spoke about, we looked at the wheat and the weeds. As God sows the good seeds, the kingdom in the world, we're not talking about church, we're talking about in the world, the enemy sows a seed as well, right alongside it. So the parable of the wheat and the weeds that we saw, it talks about the corruption that is sowed alongside the kingdom community that infiltrates. So Jesus says here in verse 32, this tree that grows forth from the mustard seed, he says when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. The birds come and rest on it. But I want to emphasize, most of the idea in the church history regard this as a beautiful picture of the church growing so large that it provides a refuge for the whole world, the nations, to come and perch on it. One of the scholars, G. Campbell Morgan, was an expositor of Old Testament. He develops this idea in his commentary on Matthew's Gospel, the line of thinking which I agree with, which I take. The idea here is that the mustard seed plant grows unnaturally large and it harbors birds. In the previous parable, birds were emissaries of Satan. It comes and takes away the seed. We see two references to that already here in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 4 and verse 19. The parable of the sower, the bird is the enemy who comes to take away the seed that fell along the path. You could say that this parable accurately describes what the kingdom community became in the decades and centuries after the Christianization of the Roman Empire. In those centuries, we see the church grew abnormally large in its influence and its dominion, and it was a nest for a lot of corruption. Again, quoting G. Campbell Morgan in his commentary, says, birds lodging in the branches most probably refers to elements of corruption which takes refuge in the very shadow of Christianity. If you say, Alex, it's hard to believe. If you have only seen the parable of the mustard seed and the birds of the mustard seed plant in a positive sense, then look at the next parable. Verse 33, the parable of the yeast, the leaven. He told them still another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour and until it worked all through the dough. Jesus used a surprising picture here again. I would like to emphasize the majority interpretation of this throughout church history has been, this is a beautiful expression of the yeast works its way through an entire lump of dough. You put a little bit of leaven in a lump of dough and it makes the whole thing expanded. It just doesn't make part of the lump to expand, but the whole thing. Many see this as a beautiful picture of how the kingdom of God. See, when you can take the parable as an isolated story, Jesus saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. the kingdom of God is the east. Or in the whole context of that passage where the kingdom of God is like the east, a woman hid in the large portion of flour as a story. See, there is another layer to consider when we look closely at what this east often represents in scriptures. So I don't think this is just, it's really beyond dispute, but the east is consistently used in the scripture as a picture of sin and corruption. You see it again and again, both the content and context point towards this being another description of corruption in the kingdom community. William Barclay, one of the scholars, said that the listeners to Jesus would have been in shock at hearing the kingdom of God compared to the east. Because in Matthew chapter 16, 6, 11 and 12, Jesus says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Jesus later explained that he was referring to their teaching that yeast here represent the corrupting influences of false and hypocritical religious teaching. And that we've seen, though Jesus says this, we saw later when the church grew, how false teaching came into the church, how corruption came into the church. But that will not stop the growth of the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, "Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the old batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch." So here yeast represents unrepented sin, particularly sexual immorality in the church, and Paul urges the church to remove it. So anything that is immoral, anything that is heresy, false teaching, which came into the church, that corruption will grow alongside, but that will not stop the growth of the church. And one day God will come and judge. You don't need to worry about it. He will sort it out. All we have to do is trust in Him. Grow faithfully in the kingdom of God. See, did you notice in verse 33 it says that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. In ESV, in NIV it is mixed, but in ESV it says she hid it in the large portion of flour. The word literally means hide in Greek, which is enkrypto, which means hid, hide. Intentional concealment, hiding it secretly. This may represent deceptive influences being introduced secretly into the life of the church and kingdom community. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "There will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. The pattern of corruption entering undercover aligns with the images that we see in this parable." So we are talking about approximately 20 kilos of flour here, or 20 plus kilos of flour. It is way more than any woman would normally prepare. So you have an abnormal size and corruption working its way. You can see this yeast as a, permeates the flour, the dough. You can take that angle. Or you can also see on the other side, which I stick to, the pervasiveness in the flour. So you have an abnormal size and a corruption working its way. It is very much the same kind of principle as the parable of the mustard seed, describing an unnatural growth and corruption entering into it again. And again, quoting G. Campbell Morgan, he says, he wrote, the leaven, the East represents the paganizing influences brought into the church. And today we see that. Not only at that time, even today we see the worldly ideas that tries to influence church. And today as I was listening to those beautiful voices, singing those songs and leading us in time of worship, how beautiful is that? Now there are places, I'm not pointing anybody, but we are so attracted to lights, smoke, great music. Something keeps me so much like being in a club. But God sees beyond that, the heart, the beautiful voice that comes out of that beautiful heart. I want to worship the Lord. I want to bring God's people together and lead them in time of worship. Sing the song to one another. The world is slowly trying to influence, but we stand firm in the word of God. And we continue to grow. And I was reading this book on the road, The book is about how in America, after the Second World War, how church was influenced by this fast-paced culture. In the back of the city, you want to take a ride, you know, on a journey, on the road. And how people started to live the life for pleasure. Now we had this hard time of war. Now we should live our life for what makes us happy. And this culture of backseat, immorality. And churches started to accommodate those ideas of fast food culture, fast sermon, drive-in car, where you have a drive-in theaters, a drive-in church where you come in your car and started to fail. But we see time and again, the world tries to influence the church, also the people in the church. But we stand firm by the power of the Lord who has called us, who will keep us faithful. Don't worry about the corruption around you. You stay focused on the Lord. I want to share an Indian, this Indian pastor back in India shared this beautiful, I shared with some of the people. I don't know whether it's appropriate to the Western context, but this lady always kept saying, oh, I don't like the church. I'm not happy about this church. And she's a wonderful person. She's a lovely person. But she was upset about what's happening in the church where other people are trying to bring in hurt. And so this person went and asked the pastor, Pastor, I want to stop coming to church. The pastor, that's fine. He said, it's fine. But I want to say one thing. After today's preaching, I want you to do one thing before you leave. So it's a different cultural setting, so please don't misunderstand. So he said, okay, here's a glass of water. I want you to, if you're okay with it, to, after the church is finished, to go around the church a couple of rounds and come back without spilling the drop of water. Oh, it's not a big deal. I can do that. And after the church, she took this glass of water. We went around the church and she said, say, Pastor, I have not spilled a single drop. And the pastor said, oh, that's good. Yes, you have done that right. And pastor asked, before you go, can I ask you one question? Yes, what is it? So this time when you're going around the church, what did you hear? She said, I heard nothing because my focus was on the water. So that really made me to think a lot. If your focus is on the living water who gives you life, you will not be worried about what happens around you. But you will be a person who will be helping and healing others, but not be complaining and be worried about it. That should not stop you from growing in the Lord. Same applies to the church. Same applies to our kingdom children in the community, in the church, outside as well. we continue to grow, we keep our focus on the Lord who will bring forth his judgment in the right time. But our job is to trust in the Lord and keep growing in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom will continue to grow. See, that's the heartbeat of this parable. No matter how small it looks at the start, going back to that, like a mustard seed tucked into the soil, the kingdom is alive. It's working quietly, persistently, even when we can't see it. Jesus never said, I would come and military power or political dominance. That's what most of the disciples expected of Jesus, to come with power, extraordinary power, and throw the Roman Empire immediately. And some of them were disappointed and left because that didn't happen. But those who were with him, who believed in him, trusted in him, understood the heart of the gospel, knew there's something beyond that at work. Not the Roman power. God is overthrowing the power of Satan, the enemy, and the power of sin and the slavery. He said it will come like a whisper, a seed. That means a kingdom spreads not with force, but with faithfulness. Not with swords or slogans, but with prayer, with sacrifice, with hospitality, everyday acts of love. The enemy may try to sow weeds in the field, like the previous passage. Birds may try to nest in the branches, and confusion may spread like yeast. But the seed keeps growing, the tree keeps rising, the bread keeps rising, because God is the one making it grow. So don't be discouraged by small beginnings or slow progress. Remember, God is at work. In God's hands, small things change the world, and his kingdom, it's unstoppable. Amen? So how does it apply to us? What does it mean for me today? Stay faithful in the small things. Don't be worried. Trust in the Lord. You may not know what's happening under the soil, but God is at work. It will grow enormously large, a big tree. The quiet prayer matters. God hears it. That conversation about Jesus plants a seed. The act of kindness shows the kingdom. Don't measure impact by size, but God sees your seed. Stay faithful. See, when I finished my university, I finished my degree in commerce and accounts. My dad is a businessman. He's an electrical contractor. Very good life in India. Doing really well. But when God called him, when my family felt the sense God called them for full-time ministry, they gave everything up in the city life, the business. They moved to the small village, a rural place. Lots of hardship. Growing up seeing them, I said, I don't want to be in ministry. I never want to be in ministry because I know how hard it is, how painful emotionally and physically. And I saw the struggles, what my parents went through. I said, no, I don't want to be in ministry. I chose to study commerce and accounts. I want to become an accountant. I want to become a businessman. And later, I want to continue to do my study and master's in business administration. But that's where God called me. No, that's not your path, Alex. I want you to change. I want you to come and serve me. Hard. Because you've seen years of struggle, years of pain, what your parents gone through. But you didn't really understand why did they do that. So when I came to this country, I did my studies, and then later I went on to do my theological studies. I did my seminary education, I did my master's, I came here, I did 1 year of study here, started working in a church, went through such a hardship. As a migrant, you come to a country, you start from the scratch. Above all, in ministry, nobody knows you, no references, struggles, painful experience. We lived on Stella's salary for 5 years. So much of hardship. My pastor, Pastor Neil Winson, shared this, which really touched me many years ago. See, Alex, we do not measure our life the success of this world. We measure our life by God's calling. As children of God, we don't measure our life by what the world's standard is, world's world success is. We measure our success based on the calling of God. Stay faithful. That changed my perspective. I was living it. I was struggling within. But it just opens your mind. I want to tell you, you might be going through some things in your life. I want to tell you, God is at work. Do not measure your life with the success of this world. Trust in the Lord, the one who called you, because you need to measure with the calling of God, not the success of this world. Trust God's timing. Wait for it. It may take time, but God is at work beneath the surface. Like the mustard seed might not look like much, but give it time. God will bring forth what he has in store. Don't be discouraged by the opposition. Birds may perch, and the dough may look messy, but God is still in control. Trust in the Lord. The kingdom of God began in a stable. It spreads through fishermen and tax collectors. It was nourished by mustard seeds of faith. Carried on whispers of love and sacrifice, it will not fail. So trust in the Lord. Never underestimate what God can do to small, what seems very small. And God will bring forth what he has planned. And he will continue to make the church grow. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray. I would like you to take a moment and reflect on, I know not the whole sermon would be, you know, remember every single point or every single words, but there would have been something that God has spoken to you as you're listening this morning. Or God has been reminding you something in your heart. The areas of your life that God wants you to open to him and trust in him. I want to tell you, God is at work. Nothing is dead unless God declares it dead. God can bring forth life out of nothing, and he is able to bring what is dead back to life. So let's trust in him. God can do it. And he will make his church grow and his people grow in his kingdom in this world. And he will make you stand as a witness in this world. Father, we thank you for this morning. And what you have spoken to us this morning, we trust in you. We commit our life. Lord, help us to grow strongly in your kingdom, not worried about what's around us, but to trust in your word. The one who is at work in us and helps us to surrender our hearts to you and help us to grow in your kingdom. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We trust in you, O Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.